And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
Even though many centuries have passed, I believe the words read to us earlier are just as needful and just as meaningful today, even more so as they were when they were spoken some 25 centuries ago. Where the psalmist said in Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." I want us to think today about living today, because so many people do not live today. Obviously, I'm not meaning that they're not breathing, that they're not walking around, but I'm simply meaning that a lot of people are not really enjoying today. And the time in which the psalmist lived, the time was probably more peaceful than our day. For in Psalm 23, he says, "He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." He knew what it was like to walk by the still waters. And I think in our turbulent time, in our very disturbed age, in an age that may be described as an age of violence, almost every day we read about some bombing taking place where so many people have been killed or are injured. And so ours is an age of violence. In many respects, it's an age of turbulence. I don't believe that we could say it's an age of calmness and peace and serenity as he did. But regardless of the age in which we're privileged to live, I believe the same requirement needs to be ours of living today. It's a lesson worth learning. Notice the psalmist did not say, "That was the day the Lord had made." It's easy for us to believe that God made some of the good days of the past, but somehow or other that God is either unconcerned or disinterested or uninvolved in His present work. No, the psalmist didn't say that was the day that God made, but he said this, the present is the day that the Lord has made. Neither did he project himself into the future. Neither did he say, that will be the day the Lord will make, as if some utopian experience was to be realized in the future. I don't think he's negative. I don't think he's pessimistic about the future. But he's simply saying that what we need to do is to grapple with this moment, this present day. Some years ago, when I was studying Greek under the feet or at the feet of Brother John Rainey, a great man, and certainly a great scholar of the Greek language, the original language of the New Testament, Brother Rainey would always tell us, "Now be sure to get each day's assignment, because," he says, "if you don't, you're going to be lost in the clouds." And by that he meant everything would be foggy, everything would not be understood. That's the way of a language. It's so crucial in any language study that as you begin to study the language and learn the fundamentals of it, that you learn each day's assignment. Because tomorrow depends upon what you learn today, and the next day depends upon what's gone before. Now, that's not true of all studies. In the field of literature, you could always, by burning the midnight oil, by studying a lot longer and a lot harder and a lot faster, you could catch up if you didn't read yesterday's assignment when it was due. That isn't true of language study. That isn't true when one is beginning to learn a language. You need to make use of each day. I want to challenge you that not only is that needed in a study of some foreign language, but it's so crucial, it's so needed today. In Matthew 7, verse 24, Jesus told us that there were two kinds of people. He said they're wise and they're foolish. And He said that they build a lot. He used, of course, the teaching of building a house. You remember He said that the wise man builds his house upon a rock, upon a good foundation. And the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. Now the thing basically wrong with that foolish man was that the day he started building the house, probably there was not a cloud in the sky, not any evidence of rain. And he probably thought, what matters about a good foundation? What does it make any difference? And so he built the house upon the sand. And of course, when it gets wet, the sand shifts. It's not stable, it's not solid, it's not permanent. You remember Jesus went on to tell us the explanation of the story. And He said the floods came, and the winds blew, and the rains beat upon the house, both of them. But on the house of the wise man, it stood firm and solid. But when the rains and the floods came and beat upon that foolish man's house, it fell, and great was the fall thereof, because it was built upon the sand. You see, he thought of a shortcut. He thought that the present doesn't really matter. Things are so fine, and I don't need to be concerned about preparation. Yes, the rain will fall, and the storms will come into every life. It depends upon the foundation. We need to realize that today is the first day of the rest of our life. Regardless of yesterday or last month, today is the first day of the rest of our life. There are three things, though, about living today that I want to share with you from the psalmist's words, and they are that this day is all that I have. And secondly, today is all that I can manage. And finally, today is all that I need. Now, if you'll remember with me those key words, today is all that I have, it's all I can manage, and it's all I need. I believe that's what the Word of God was saying. That's what the writer was emphasizing. Let's go back and notice that, as he said, this is the day the Lord has made. Today is all that I have. It's a sum total. In this audience today, there are people with varying abilities. And there are people who possess varying things. Some are wealthier than others. Some of us are poorer than others. And so in many ways, in many senses, we differ. Every person is different. No two people are the same. Not even two blades of grass are the same. They look the same to us. When we get out mowing, if the yard is all planted or sowed in one kind of grass rather than a multiplicity of grasses, we'd probably say that the blades all seem the same. Just hundreds and thousands of them, but under a microscope and greatly enlarged, we're told that every one of them is different. Every one isn't the same. And so if God made the blades of grass all to be different, and every leaf to be different, I'm sure that He made every human being different. Different in ability, different in numbers of ways. It's a total of the treasure of the richest, though, as well as the poorest. The sum total, so far as time is concerned, our sole possession is today. President doesn't have any more time on his calendar clock than we do. He lives more lavishly. He has more power. He has far more prestige. But the sum total of his day is the same as ours. He doesn't have any extra minutes in it than we do. Someone said, in differing in worth, it would be a marvelous thing if some folks could be bought for what they're worth and sold for what they think they're worth. If that could be done, then a tremendous profit
to be made.
Now, some people may think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Some people may have their own fan club, and they may be proud of themselves and really sold on their accomplishments. But I tell you that as far as time is concerned, we all have the same total. We'll not all live the same number of years, but we'll all, the time we live, will all be the same. Yesterday has gone. It is as much out of our reach as the first day of year one. I can no more recall yesterday than I can recall the day when the angels told those shepherds out on that hillside in Luke 2:10, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to unto you and to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David Christ the Savior, Christ the Lord." From the day when they announced to those fearful shepherds the birth of Jesus, we can no more recall or bring back that day than we could bring back yesterday. Now, yesterday may have bored some of us. We may have gone through it with yawns, finding it dull and as oppressive as a West Texas dust storm. Or we may have been painful and tiresome. Maybe it introduced us to some tragedy. And in many instances, we may say, "I'm glad that I don't have those moments again." But regardless of how good or bad or mediocre, whatever it may be, yesterday has gone forever, and it'll never return. Some people look back to yesterday with wistful eyes. Some people want to never separate themselves from yesterday. They'd like to live it all over again. Yet the Word of God teaches us in Ecclesiastes 7:10, "Do not say that the former days are better, because in so doing you're not wise." He said, don't talk about the good old days. Don't say that the former days were better. Because to do so is not to display wisdom. The writer Jerome says that men have been looking back to the good old days of 50 years ago ever since Adam's 51st birthday. And that may be true. Of course, those days weren't so good when we were living them, but it's an easy thing to think about and to look back with yesterday, as Paul says in Philippians 3:13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth to the things which are before, the mark of the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus." And so we're not going to benefit ourselves by looking back with wistful eyes of yesterday. Some look with longing eyes and realize they did not use yesterday well. Someone said that we need to use every 60 seconds worth of distance run. Regardless of how we used yesterday, it is gone from us forever. We may say, as Jacob did in Genesis 47:9, "Few and evil have been the days, the years of my life." I suppose everybody in a time of despondency might come to that conclusion. We may grasp at it frantically as Esau did in Hebrews 12:7. When the time came and he wanted the blessing, he sought for it, but he found no place, even though he shed many tears for it. Esau pounded at the door of the past, and he couldn't open it, and neither can any one of us. And tomorrow has not arrived. We hear a song sometime, "Tomorrow never comes," and it doesn't. Because in a few hours, it'll be today again. And tomorrow's projected always in the future. Tomorrow never really comes. Because when our tomorrow, today, arrives, it'll be today. It'll not be tomorrow. And so tomorrow, in the real sense, never comes. We need then to know that today is all that we have. Yesterday, with all of its glories, with all of its adversities, is gone forever. And today is all we have and all we can manage. Suppose we had the power to get back our yesterdays. If somehow we could project ourselves either into yesterday or into tomorrow, it wouldn't be a blessing but a curse. We've seen jugglers juggling maybe several balls or maybe different items, and they were able skillfully to keep all of these in the air without letting any of them fall. They'd manage to get one before it fell to the floor or the ground, and they'd keep them all in the air. Now, jugglers are able to do feats of this nature, but none of us would be able to manage time of today, yesterday, and tomorrow. We couldn't really keep everything afloat, and the result would be tragic. Jesus said in Matthew 6, the latter part of that chapter, "Take no thought about tomorrow. Don't be so worried and so uptight about tomorrow." And then he went on to say, now look what God does for the vegetable creation. He takes care of the grass that today is and is cast into the oven. He takes care of the lilies of the field, growing wild, he provides for them. And then he goes to not just the plant kingdom, but he goes to the birds of the air. And he says, now God takes care of those. If God's going to take care of all of these things, the plant kingdom, the grass, the lilies, the birds, then surely those of us who are the highest of His creation, made in His image, God will take care of us. And He said, do not take thought, do not worry about tomorrow. But oh, so many try to manage tomorrow today. Or try to relive yesterday today, and they make chaos of their life. I remember some time ago when we lived in Kentucky, there was a young man who came into town and he needed a bus ticket to another town down in somewhere in southern Kentucky, and he called me from the bus station, and I went down to the station. Anyway, we managed to get him a bus ticket to some small town in Kentucky. And as I was talking with this young man, I realized what a great weight and a great burden he was carrying. He told me about having a drinking problem. He wasn't drinking at that time, but that had been a real problem of his. And I said, well, this is the thing you've got to get control of. And he said, the reason I drink is try to drown my thoughts, my soul. I said, now, what do you mean? He said sometime before that, he and two other men were out on Lake Cumberland in Kentucky, and one of the men drowned. He said, we were all three out there on that boat, on that lake, drinking, and one of my friends drowned. And he said, you know, that's tormented me to death. He said, because this man left four little children. A wife and four little children. I said, yes, but you probably couldn't help the fact that the guy drowned. You didn't push him out of the boat. You didn't make him drink the booze. He said, no, but I begged and begged and begged that day when we went out in that boat. I begged him away from his family. I went to his house, begged and pled with him to go with us. He said he'd never been out on that boat, on that lake, if it hadn't been for me. He said, you know, I think about that, and that just hammers in my mind, in my thoughts, that man's wife and his four little children. You know, there are a lot of people like that man. Not because they've had some friend drown in a boating accident, but there are a lot of folks in our world today that are miserable because they are not enjoying today. They're trying to relive or to think about and to let it torment them sometime yesterday. And then lastly, today is all we need. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. This is all that we need. One day at a time. Oh, we can plan about next month and next year and 10 years away. But one day at a time, Lord Jesus. That's all. God's richest promises are not for yesterday nor for tomorrow, but for today. Be surprised when you look at the Bible closely and you notice how it speaks in the present. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Paul says it's right now. Today is the day of salvation. Someone was talking with a man on one occasion. They said, we'd like to see you obey the gospel. When do you plan on doing this? He said, I don't know. The man said, well, if I could show you in the Bible where God says that when you should do it, you should be willing to do it. He thought he would. Then the person went to this scripture we just noted. He said, the Lord says, now's the time to do it. Today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. This is it. Today's all we need. We couldn't take care of yesterday if we could get it back. We couldn't manage tomorrow if somehow we could get it into our clutches, but we need to live this moment, to live today. Regardless of how trying or difficult it may be, regardless of the pain we may experience, we can live today. And that's what God would have of each one of us. This is the day. This is the moment that God has given to us, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Oh, there's so many, many things for which to rejoice. Even in an age of violence and even in a time when men by the multitudes do not trust one another, do not love one another, do not care about one another, there is cause for rejoicing. Rejoicing that everything is as well as it is, and knowing that God is in control and God's in charge and we're His children. And with this awareness, with this realization, we can say of every day, I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I'm simply urging you to rejoice in today. Don't say, if my ship comes in tomorrow, I'll rejoice. If everything turns up roses in the future, I'll rejoice. But say, because of this day, because of this moment, I will rejoice and I will be glad in it, because God is my God and I know that He loves me and blesses me and will continue to do so. Live today. Live it fully, live it richly, live it completely is the language of the Bible. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. You need to surrender your life to Jesus in order that every day that you live, you can rejoice because you're on your way to heaven and you're enjoying a great taste of it here on earth, a foretaste of it with God in your life. You've never obeyed the gospel. You need to express your belief in Jesus to repent of your sins, believing in the Lord with all of your heart, being baptized, and then rising to walk a new life, a new purpose. If you've wandered away from the Lord and you need to turn back to Him in repentance and prayer, in confession, He promises to forgive and cleanse and to receive you. Then you can live fully every day.